Welcome to Stand in the Gap Today with your host, the Honorable Sam Rohrer, President of the American Pastors Network, addressing the most pressing issues impacting our economy, our homes, our churches, our culture, and our daily lives from a biblical and constitutional perspective. Stand in the Gap Today, transforming the culture one heart at a time.
Many dead, including women and children, in mindless chemical attack in Syria. Area of atrocity is in lockdown and encircled by Syrian army, making it completely inaccessible to outside world. President Putin, Russia, and Iran are responsible for backing animal Assad. Big price to pay. Open area immediately for medical help and verification. Another humanitarian disaster for no reason whatsoever. Sick. Ladies and gentlemen, those words were tweeted by President Trump at 9 a.m. yesterday morning. And then from there, he slammed former President Barack Obama for his stated red line with Syria that he failed to enforce. And all of this, friends, comes amid reports that there was a chemical attack yesterday that left at least 40 dead near the capital, while also the president warned Russia and Iran that there will be, quote, a big price to pay for backing the Assad regime. While this event dominated the headlines over the weekend, there was another event that occurred that has also garnered much attention as well. It's being termed what many of us have prayed for, and that is a revival. In fact, the precise title of this past weekend's Friday and Saturday event was, quote, the Red Letter Revival, so named for the words of Jesus in most Bibles being in red. And with that, I want to welcome you to Stand in the Gap Today. I am Dave Kissler. I'm joined today by Dr. Gary Dull. Sam Rohrer is away, so the two of us will be hosting the program. The Red Letter Revival was conducted in an auditorium in Lynchburg, Virginia, the city where Liberty University and Thomas Road Baptist Church are both located. And Lynchburg was deliberately chosen because it is the home of Liberty University and Thomas Road Baptist Church. But who are the Red Letter Revival participants, and more importantly, what do they believe? Well, according to Red Letter Christian's press release, speakers at the weekend event included religious left fixture Tony Campolo, former Sojourners affiliated activist Lisa Sharon Harper, Reverend William Barber, who is from Raleigh, North Carolina, as well as Jonathan Martin, a self-professing evangelical speaker, blogger. And then there were others that spoke at the event as well. This event, called, quote, a revival, is the stimulus for today's topic. And ladies and gentlemen, what we're going to be addressing today is this: recognizing revival from revolution, the crying need for discernment to tell the difference. Recognizing revival from revolution, the crying need for discernment to tell the difference. Literally advertised as a demonstration against Falwell and what's been called Trump evangelicalism by the far left, the irony is that Friday and Saturday's event, called the Red Letter Revival, was a demonstration against Jerry Falwell Jr.'s what they call pro-Republican devotion. And the Red Letter supporters used the event to advance their own commitment to social causes on the political left. But again, what do these Red Letter Revivalists believe? Well, ladies and gentlemen, they are a leftist, progressive, pro-LGBT movement that rejects appropriate immigration safeguards and promotes religious inclusion of just about anything, even that which the Bible clearly condemns. And most disturbing is their rejection of the Old Testament or any other portions of Scripture other than the words of Jesus, which again are in red in most Bibles. Now, Gary, before we go into the specifics of this new movement, I want to talk a little bit about what a genuine revival is, what it is biblically, and then we're going to talk a little bit in segment two about what it is historically as far as some of the revivals that we have seen in the United States of America that were genuine revivals. So, Gary, talk biblically about what it is when we use the word revival.
Well, the whole concept of revival is something, David, that I think that many people, particularly many Christians today, do fail to understand what it means. Many times, Christians will even confuse revival with evangelism. And I like to put it this way, that evangelism is when the lost people get right with God through faith in Jesus Christ as their Savior. But revival is when God's people get right with God. When God's people get right with God. And normally, whether you are studying the history of revivals or even study the concept of revival in the Word of God, revival will come when people recognize that they have gotten far away from God. And normally what will lead up to that revival is people gathering together to pray, or the reading and the preaching and the teaching of the Word of God that deals with the issues of the day. And that will normally lead into an effective revival. But just basically defining the word, revival is when God's people get right with God. Whether that relates to an individual or to a church or to a nation, it's when God's people get right with God.
Gary, I want to just define the literal term revive. Vive is the word that means life. Re means again. So literally a revival is a coming to life again of God's church. And one of the best definitions I think I've ever heard is from an old preacher of a bygone era. And he said, revival is nothing more than this. It is the fresh infusion of life into a body that's threatening to become a corpse. And I love that definition. It's God's people, literally, as you said, Gary, getting right with God, coming back to life again, being what they should be and what literally we can be if we are walking in the Spirit, submitted to the Lord Jesus Christ, and our lives are in proper alignment with God's word. Well, this red letter revival movement, one of the taglines associated with it, one of the lines they've used to advertise it is this, and this is a direct quote, Jesus and justice. Jesus and justice. And of course, by the word justice, they mean social justice. And Gary, you know as well as I do as a student of revivals of the past, every genuine revival has produced social changes, always as a byproduct, though, of the spiritual movement that is a real revival. The question I want to ask you is this, though social change takes place when revival occurs, such as the elimination of slavery or, you know, other things that take place, the shutting down of saloons, the removal of houses of ill repute. Those are changes that take place in a community from a social perspective. But is social justice, as it's defined today, is that a legitimate pursuit of revival?
Well, I don't even know what social justice means anymore, Dave. I think social justice is just a phrase that the liberals have termed to get away from biblical truth, to be honest with you. And when you are talking about what these folks with the red letter revival are doing, there's no biblical truth with that. There's no biblical truth in that at all, which I think we will probably be able to see as we delve further into it in the program. You know, could it be that the old-fashioned preacher you were quoting was Vance Havner?
You know what, Gary, it was.
You see, he also said, a lot of people don't need revived, they need vibed. That's a good place to start.
Well, it is. And ladies and gentlemen, after the break, we're going to drill down into this red letter revival movement, what it is not and what it is. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that which is genuine with respect to revival. I don't want you to miss this program. You're listening to Stand in the Gap today.
Hello, this is Sam Rohr. Although the term Christian education doesn't occur in the Bible, it does speak of the moral and spiritual instruction of children. It places a high value on knowledge, both of God and His works. It describes the moral and spiritual fruits of this knowledge and defines its ultimate purpose, the growth of your child in godliness of character and action. That's why we suggest you consider BJU Press K-12 materials. Your child's a unique individual created for a specific purpose. Proper instruction that includes the Bible and the relational influence of godly teachers produces a pure heart and a willing mind. The Bible calls that success. BJU Press materials are well-written, grade-level appropriate, and biblically integrated. They teach critical thinking skills and keep your child engaged and excited about learning. If you're a Christian school teacher or administrator, a homeschool teacher, or a parent who just wants your child to learn more, start by exploring the BJU Press website. Visit bjupress.com. That's bjupress.com.
Thank you, Sam, and thank you to the team that you have working with you. I'll tell you one thing about your show. You accomplish more in less time to advance the gospel and to advance knowledge and understanding of seriously any radio show I know of. So congratulations.
Those kind words from Congressman Michelle Bachmann summarize what our guests say about Stand in the Gap today. This is Sam Rohr. On this program, we bring honest analysis of today's news to you and millions of Americans every day. With a newspaper in one hand and the Word of God in the other, we connect the dots between what's happening and what God says about what's happening in light of the Bible and the Constitution. From the mouths of our co-hosts, all preachers, whether former members of the House of Representatives or an evangelist to a millennial pastor or a senior pastor of 40 years, Stand in the Gap today is here for you. Unique, current, trustworthy. Pray for us. Stand with us financially by going to standinthegapradio.com.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap today. For more information, visit our website at standinthegapradio.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, the 1730s, a religious revival swept through the British American colonies. Jonathan Edwards, the Yale minister who refused to convert to the Church of England, became concerned that New Englanders were becoming far too concerned with worldly matters. And to him, it seemed that people found the pursuit of wealth to be much more important than the pursuit of the principles of sacred scripture. Edwards, of course, barked out from the pulpit against these incorrect notions. And in his now classic sermon, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God, he said that God was an angry judge and humans were sinners. And it was that incredible sermon that God used to start what has now been termed the First Great Awakening. And of course, Edwards preached with such fury and conviction that people flocked to hear. Then there was George Whitefield. He was a minister from Britain who toured the American colonies. He was actually an actor by training, but he would preach the Word of God, weep with sorrow, tremble with passion as he delivered his sermons. And colonists flocked by the thousands to hear it. It is said that his voice was so powerful that without aid of amplification, he could literally be heard for blocks. And one of his most famous sermons was preached actually in the city of Philadelphia at the corner of 6th and Market Streets. And his voice, it was estimated to have been heard that day by over 20,000 people. And again, without aid of any amplification. And the reason we know there were estimates of 20,000 is because religious skeptic Ben Franklin was in the audience that day, and he was the one that calculated that 20,000 were listening to Whitefield preach. And so persuasive was Whitefield's sermon that Ben Franklin emptied his pockets when the collection was taken for an orphanage that Whitefield ran in the state of Georgia. And of course, Whitefield, along with Jonathan Edwards, both from uniquely different backgrounds, but both powerful preachers of the word, were key instruments in the First Great Awakening. Well, I bring that up because our theme today is recognizing revival from revolution, the crying need for discernment to tell the difference. And Gary, what I just described, I believe, is genuine revival, as it left in its wake much societal change in the form of regenerated souls, cleansed communities, and even the establishment of colleges for the training of young men. And I'm talking about schools like Princeton and Yale and Harvard and others. And yet this, quote, red letter revival that took place on Friday and Saturday over in Lynchburg. And by the way, from what I can ascertain, the total number of people that attended it may have been no more than 200 to 250 people. Gary, that is a vast difference from what I just described historically and from what the scriptures indicate a genuine revival is biblically.
Well, I would agree with that 100%, Dave. And, you know, number one, we would recognize that by virtue of the fact of those who are involved with it. Those who are involved with it, those who are involved with putting it on, are people that I would not recognize as people who are seeking after the heart of God. And anytime then you've got people who are crying out for social justice, as I said earlier, many times that phrase is used by the liberals to actually talk about things that are anti-biblical. You know, I did not see any real concept of any biblical revival in this, quote, red letter revival at all. And of course, when you've got people involved with it that are tied in with the LGBT and all the rest of this stuff that's out there in the world that is sinful, that is not a revival from the biblical perspective. And as we said, Revival from the biblical perspective is when God's people get right with God. I'm not seeing that in this red letter revival thing that's going on in Lynchburg.
You know, Gary, anytime there is a minimization of the Word of God, which is part of this red letter revival, hence the title, their emphasis is only on the teachings of Jesus as found in those portions in red in most Bibles, that is the statements of Jesus. The Old Testament evidently is completely done away with. Any other portions of the scripture that, you know, are not the words of Christ are de-emphasized. And yet, Gary, every revival that I've ever seen in the scriptures and every revival I've ever read about historically, or even a few that I've actually been able to be a part of in the last 34 years as an evangelist, they've always escalated and elevated the scriptures, not de-emphasized the Word of God. The other thing is this, when you see this recognition and this almost honoring of lifestyle choices that are the antithesis of a holy lifestyle, such as the honoring of the LGBT community and the normalization of that lifestyle or the attempted normalization of it, which is part of this red letter revival movement, Gary, that should tell any genuine believer in Jesus Christ, any genuine seeker of another revival in America, that should tell them all they need to know. This is not, unequivocally, I say it, it is not a move of God. The other thing, Gary, that I want to bring up is this. You knew Dr. Jerry Falwell Sr. somewhat well. Well, this past weekend's event held in Lynchburg was really nothing more than an attempt to attack Jerry Falwell Jr., Liberty University, Thomas Road Baptist Church, and to really try to go after them directly. One of the speakers at the event, Jonathan Martin, who again is a blogger, he's a speaker, he is known to be, shall we say, very soft with respect to the LGBT issue, if not supportive of it. He wanted to get onto the Liberty University campus. He wanted to, according to him, pray with some of the students. But he was denied ability to do that. In fact, he was actually escorted off the campus a number of months back. And then there was another gentleman named Shane Clyburn who wanted to meet and pray with some of the Liberty students as well. And he was denied the right to do that. In fact, from what I understand, he was issued a letter that said, if you attempt to come onto the campus, you will be considered trespassing. You will be arrested and possibly face incarceration. Now, Gary, again, you knew Dr. Jerry Falwell Sr. well. Some have criticized Dr. Jerry Jr. for this letter, saying that's unchristian, you know, to treat someone or to threaten someone that way. And yet, Gary, what's going on, or what was going to go on if these men had been allowed on the campus, was to try to create something that would not have been honoring to God. I'd love to have your comments on that.
Well, first of all, let me just say this, David, you know, from my perspective, and I know that many people may not agree with this and may not even understand it, and I would just say, as one of the friends that we have on this program so often says, Google it. And I think you know who I'm talking about. But Tony Campolo has walked away from evangelical conservative Christianity years ago. And so anything that he would be involved with, I would really highly question whether or not it is truly from the biblical perspective. And so I just want to say that at this point. As it relates to Dr. Jerry Falwell Sr. and Dr. Jerry Falwell Jr., they both have a heart, I believe, to train champions for Christ. That's what Dr. Jerry Falwell Sr. used to say all the time. And I think that Jerry Falwell Jr. right now recognizes the danger of this red letter revival, recognizes that it's not biblically based. And as the president of the university down there, David, he has every right to keep people off of their campus if that's what he so chooses. That's his right, and it's his responsibility as president of Liberty University to protect the students. He understands that if some of these people who are part of this red letter revival comes in to pray with students on the campus, that may lead them astray and lead them into false doctrine. So he has every right to establish that protection and to keep those folks off the campus as the president of the university.
You know, Gary, you're bringing up a great point. I know there's a lot of people that don't seem to have a stomach for this kind of thing, but is this not, and I'm talking about what Dr. Jerry Jr. did by saying you're not going to come on the campus, you're not going to, quote unquote, pray with the students, because I think the prayer or the offer to pray with the students was a very I'm going to say, deceptive way of trying to get access to the students, to their minds, to their hearts. And Dr. Jerry said nothing doing. But is this not supposed to be the same mindset of the God-called pastor? And if I could use this analogy, we have a dog, our daughter actually does, that was trained with a strong herding instinct, and he would never harm a sheep, though he has fangs and claws, just like wolves and other nefarious animals do. He would never use those fangs or bear those claws to harm a sheep, but boy, he would certainly bear his fangs, and he would let his claws be seen. I've seen it happen if some type of sinister enemy to sheep comes around and he jumps into action. I think that's what Dr. Jerry Jr. was doing. And I think that's really what every God-called pastor should do if there is a perceived threat to the flock.
Well, it's called being a protector of the truth. And whether you are the pastor of a flock or the president of the university or whatever the case may be, when you see threats to the truth trying to infiltrate into the organization that you are responsible for, and have been given that responsibility ultimately from God, you must protect it. You know, pastors have the responsibility to protect their flock. We've talked about that on this program before, whether we are talking about spiritual protection or even protecting the flock from people who might want to come in and, you know, shoot up the flock, as we know has happened in recent days. The pastor has the responsibility. It's a biblical responsibility. The president of the university has that responsibility. And that's what I believe that Jerry Falwell Jr. was doing.
Well, friends, when we come back, we're going to shift gears a little bit and share with you some information you have not heard probably any other location. And what we're going to share with you has been a tool God has used in the past to facilitate great revival, though there is always great cost associated with it. What am I talking about? Don't miss segment 3 coming up after this very brief timeout. You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, discussing the pressing issues facing our culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. Now let's rejoin our host.
In 1857, there were 30,000 men who were idle in the streets of New York. Drunkenness was rampant, and the nation was divided by slavery. God raised up a praying businessman by the name of Jeremiah Lanphier. On September 23rd of 1857, he began a noontime prayer meeting on Fulton Street in the financial district of Manhattan. Out of a city of 1 million people at the time, 6 showed up, and they showed up a half an hour late. The group decided, though, to meet the next week, and there were 14 in attendance. The week following that, there were 23. The week after that, there were 40. And within weeks, there were literally thousands of business leaders meeting daily to pray at the noon hour. God moved so powerfully that the prayer meeting spread across the nation, and it is now estimated that nearly 1 million people were converted out of a national population of 35 million at the time, including an estimated 10,000 weekly conversions in New York City. If I'm doing my math correctly, ladies and gentlemen, that's about 3% of the population of the United States who were converted during what is now called the Fulton Street Prayer Revival. That would be the equivalent of 10 million people becoming followers of Jesus Christ today. Now, we're talking about this topic, and that is recognizing revival from revolution, the crying need for discernment to tell the difference. And we're contrasting not only some of the revivals in the scriptures, but some historical revivals with this phony, fake, artificial red letter revival that supposedly occurred over the weekend in Lynchburg, Virginia. Ladies and gentlemen, one of the things that has facilitated revival in the past is something none of us really desires to see happen to anyone, especially ourselves, and that is Christian persecution. And yet, sometimes persecution has been the very implement God has used to spark revivals around the world. And a couple of days ago, in fact, I think it was back early part of last week, we mentioned on this program a request for prayer for a couple named Ahmed and Amir. They were in Pakistan. They are in Pakistan. And Ahmed and Amir both face loss of life for their Christian faith. And we did not plan this for today's program, but moments before we went live, the following clip that we're going to let you listen to arrived. It is Ahmed, this gentleman who is a preacher of the gospel in Pakistan, whose life will be taken from him unless God intervenes. I want you to listen in his own words to what he is facing, and then we're going to come back and introduce to you a friend of Ahmed's who's going to bring us up to speed with what specifically is happening. Gary, let's listen to the clip.
I'm feeling blessed due to all the prayers and support of my brothers and sisters in Christ in the crucial time of persecution. This message could be my last, and my voice will be vanished from this earth. So considering it my will also, I would like to say that even though I would not be on this earth, but preaching of gospel should continue. I believe that Satan is already defeated, and my persecution brings more glory to my Christ. I appreciate your support and would like to request to take care of my family later, till the time I meet them in heaven. God bless my dear brothers and sisters. Amen.
Wow.
Well, that was something, wasn't it, Dave? That was an appeal from Ahmed as he's actually facing persecution over there in Pakistan. That was strong language, was it not?
Gary, it was absolutely amazing. And he said something that I think we're trying to make the point about today, and that is persecution, according to Ahmed, brings glory to Jesus Christ. And you don't hear fear in his voice. Obviously, he's not looking forward to what could be his fate. And yet there is firm resolve. He's not going to back up. He's not going to stop his preaching. He's going to continue his loyal following of Jesus Christ. And Gary, I understand you have there in your studio at this moment a friend of Ahmed's, someone that perhaps even within the last several weeks has actually conversed with him. Why don't you introduce our friend Vincent to our listening audience, and then I'll let you take it from there and you can pose a few questions to Vincent, and then we'll just listen in.
Okay, Dave, sounds good. And ladies and gentlemen, we mentioned last week about this situation with Ahmed and Amir, and I know that many of you have been praying for them, and we continue to ask you to do that. And I do have with me right now here in the studio Vincent. Vince, that's all we will call him because of security reasons. And Vince, if you could just share with our audience a little bit about when was the last time you saw Ahmed and how you are actually related, connected, tied in with him, please.
Sure. Thanks, Gary. I really appreciate you having me on the program to share the prayer request. Just 2 weeks ago, I was sitting in a coffee shop in Pakistan with Ahmed and his lawyer. Ahmed is a highly influential, very strategic partner for the gospel in Pakistan, an evangelist, a leader, and he is a partner with an organization called FMI. They have a website, forgottenmissionaries.org. You can read more about what they do. But he is just bold for his faith. And because of that, some radical Islamists have accused him of blasphemy against Islam, which in Pakistan requires no evidence for that accusation to be leveled. And the penalty, if he is convicted, is death. So we were sitting in the coffee shop with his lawyer discussing his future. And as we're sitting there, the lawyer himself has a bandage over his eye because just a week and a half earlier, before we were together, he was beaten publicly in the courtroom by the prosecuting attorney in front of the judge. Mm. So this is the state of things for Christian minorities inside of Pakistan. The lawyer, who is a Muslim himself, was pleading with Ahmed, please flee the country. They're going to take your life. And after the lawyer then left, he gave us his advice. We said, Ahmed, tell us how you feel. And he said, you know, Vince, I'm scared. And of course, I assumed I knew what that meant, but I wanted him to share more. And he said, I'm scared because if I'm killed, who will preach the gospel in Pakistan? And I thought to myself, wow, what a perspective. And so as we were continuing to discuss, he said, Vince, I told my wife, if I'm killed, then don't weep for me because I'm in a better place. But if I live, we're going to throw a huge celebration, but it's not going to be because I'm alive. it's going to be because God has endorsed my vision for Pakistan and preaching the gospel. And so I'm pleading with all of your listeners for your prayers. We're praying, obviously, that he would be delivered from death. We're praying that he would be acquitted of the blasphemy charge so that he can continue to legally preach and minister in Pakistan. And we're praying, obviously, that if he is killed, that he would that God would give Amir, his wife, wisdom in how to proceed, and the gospel would go forward.
And his trial is coming up rather rapidly. And so, you know, he could be killed before that. He could be killed at that trial or any time after that. You know, I don't know if you realize this or not, Vince, but SRN, Salem Radio News Network, is reporting that there's so much persecution among Christians or toward Christians over in Pakistan that they are putting it up to the level of genocide.
There is incredible persecution in these places, yes, and Christians are a minority. It's happening in pockets, so sometimes in Pakistan, one pocket will not even be aware of the intensity of the persecution in another pocket within the country, but it's severe.
So it's very severe, and, you know, it's amazing, David, that we have a situation here. Ahmed, he's not afraid to die. He just wants to take the opportunity to preach more of the gospel. And, of course, he'd like to see that his wife, Amir, and others within his family taken care of. That's real commitment to Christ. You know, that's what lays the groundwork for revival, Dave, not this thing that's going on down there that they're calling a red letter revival. There's a big difference between the two.
Gary, it is a dramatic difference. And Vince, let me ask you this question, and I'm not trying to make a comparison that is in any way inappropriate. But as I listen to your voice, I can hear the pathos in your voice. I can hear the commitment to Christ that is not only present in the heart and in the mind of Ahmed and Amir, but I can hear it in your voice as well. This is almost akin. In fact, it is akin. It is very much the same commitment that existed in the days of the early church, where they were faced with this kind of persecution. Close your mouth. Cease preaching the gospel. If you don't, it's going to cost you your life. And Peter and John said it so clearly, you know, whether it's right in the sight of God for us to listen to that or not, you'll have to judge. We cannot help but speak the things which we have seen and heard. And of course, they were beaten, released to go back to their brethren. So I'd love to have your comment, Vince, on that, because this kind of commitment, tragically, is all but absent in American Christianity.
It's so funny, Dave, that you should mention that, because I was just talking over WhatsApp with Ahmed yesterday morning, and I sent him a picture of us praying over a gift that he had sent back to the United States with me. I said, we're praying over this gift as if we were praying over you. And he said, I'm in tears, brother. I haven't heard of such kind of love except in the early church. And I told him, I haven't heard of such kind of boldness except in the early church. And so that's exactly right. We were just sharing with Ahmed when we were in Pakistan that Christ's death on the cross has emptied suffering of its shame and has replaced it with boldness.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to a gentleman we're just going to call Vince for security reasons. He is a friend of Ahmed and Amir, and we want you to continue to pray for this incredible couple, that God will grant deliverance to Ahmed, that he will be totally acquitted of this blasphemy charge. And before we exit the program at the end of next segment, we're going to have Gary pray for them and encourage you to do the same. We're talking about recognizing revival from revolution. We need discernment. If you've not seen the reality that you just heard from the fringe, you're missing something in your own spiritual life. Join us after the timeout. You're listening to Stand in the Gap today.
Christian parents want their children to excel in spiritual growth and educational achievement. Both are essential for future success in an increasingly complex world full of moral and economic challenges. BJU Press Materials place great value on the knowledge of God in His works. They teach critical thinking skills your child will need to get along both now and in the future. BJU Press Materials are available for grades K-12. From the earliest grades, they teach biblical Christianity as a system of God-revealed truths. BJU Press Materials materials are well-written, grade-level appropriate, and biblically integrated. Teachers' Editions assure that instructors have the plans and extra tools to keep your child engaged and excited about learning by teaching your child how to analyze, evaluate, and ultimately create new solutions. And that's just what today's workplace is looking for. If you're a Christian school teacher or administrator, a homeschool teacher, or a parent who just wants your child to learn more, start by exploring the BJU Press website. Visit bjupress.com. That's bjupress.com.
Americans are a freedom-loving people. Wouldn't it be great if you could carry a copy of the essential documents that outline our freedoms written by our nation's founders in your pocket so you can refer to it every day? Well, now you can. Stand in the Gap Radio has found something you're sure to like, the Patriot's Essential Liberty Pocket Guide. The handy guide is a slim 6.5 by 3.5 inches, yet it includes the Declaration of Independence, the U.S. Constitution, the preamble to the Bill of Rights, and other influential documents, including, in the words of our founders, topical quotes from America's founders, plus a listing of online resources for further research by the serious-minded or the just plain curious. To see and request your copy of the Patriot's Essential Liberty Pocket Guide and make your tax-deductible gift of any amount, go to AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. That's AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. Let us hear from you today. Thank you, and God bless you.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website. AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, our theme today is Recognizing Revival from Revolution, the Crying Need for Discernment to Tell the Difference. Why is that our theme? Well, ladies and gentlemen, over the weekend, if you're just now joining us, there was a quote-unquote revival in Lynchburg, Virginia. It was a Friday evening and part of Saturday event, as I understand it. A couple of hundred people attended it. They are primarily leftist, progressive thinkers from both a political perspective as well as a religious perspective. And one of our local, quote-unquote, pastors that is supportive of this red letter movement made the following statement with respect to Jonathan Edwards. Now, earlier in the program, I mentioned that Edwards, of course, was one of the key instruments God used in the First Great Awakening in the United States of America. He has been recognized by many as the greatest intellect ever born on American soil. He was the president of the College of New Jersey at one time, later to become Princeton University. And in those days, the College of New Jersey, now Princeton, was a place where preachers were trained. And Jonathan Edwards was a powerful mind, a powerful intellect, and an excellent communicator of God's word. But one of our local young pastors, supportive of the Red Letter Movement, said this about Jonathan Edwards, and I quote, "His sermon, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God, is the biggest piece of crap I've ever seen." Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's not only stupidity. That statement betrays an incredible lack of discernment, if not a lack of biblical conversion. Philippians 1:9 says this, "And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment." I want to back up and repeat that verse. Paul is saying, I want your love to abound. I want it literally to overflow. I want it to rise up in knowledge and in judgment. And if I could word it this way, love is like a river, but on either side of a river are banks. And Paul puts two banks on either side of the river of love that he wants to see abounding in the life of the Philippian believers. And those two banks are knowledge and judgment or discernment. Now, Gary, I want to go to you. We need discernment in America today. So many people are being sucked into these movements like the Red Letter Revival movement, which, Gary, is not a spiritual awakening at all. It is a social justice movement that is motivated by accepting things that the Bible very clearly condemns. So discernment is desperately needed. And what we just heard from our dear brother Vince, as he talked about Ahmed and Amir and the persecution they're facing in Pakistan, it's an amazing thing. These persecuted believers have the discernment that we so desperately need in the United States of America. So Gary, I'd love for you to comment on this, if you'd be so kind as to do so.
Isn't it interesting, David, that right now we are talking about Ahmed and Amir, who are being persecuted for their faith. He may lose his life for that, quote, biggest piece of crap that's ever been seen or understood by this fellow who's involved with Red Letter Revival. Isn't that interesting? Isn't that such a contrast? And, you know, the fact of the matter is what Jonathan Edwards preached was the truth of Almighty God. What this Red Letter Revival is involving themselves with is not the truth of Almighty God. And you're right, David. One of the things that I feel that is missing a lot within the body of Christ today is this whole concept of understanding and discernment. Many Christians get involved with unbiblical things simply because of the fact that they do not know truth. They do not know discernment. They cannot detect that which is wrong because they do not know that which is true. And I think that the challenge that I want to throw out to all of our listeners today is, remember two words, truth and teaching. Truth that comes from the Bible, the Word of God. Teaching that comes from the Holy Spirit teaching us the Word of God. You know, there is a phrase that we adopted years ago here in our church. It goes like this: what does the Bible say? When we get to the point of understanding what the Bible says, then that truth of the Word of God will be taught to us by the teaching of the Holy Spirit of God that will give us the discernment that we need to do the will of God. And unfortunately, there are so many people like these folks involved with the Red Letter Revival. They have no discernment. They're going on almost a depraved philosophy. Well, it is a depraved philosophy when on the other side of the world, there are people who are being persecuted and dying for the truth of the Word of God that the folks of the Red Letter Revival are slapping in the face of people who believe the truth. It's a sad situation, a sad condition that we face in America today.
Gary, what you're saying is this: there are people in Pakistan like Ahmed that are facing death for the very thing the Red Letter Revivalists are denying.
Right.
And that is the truth of God's Word. Could we expect, Gary, really anything other than what the Red Letter Revival is and what it will ultimately lead people to become when they deny the majority of the scriptures, when they say the Old Testament really is not applicable or it's not inspired and all we're going to go by is the words of Jesus and the teachings of Jesus and ignore this enormous body of scripture? I mean, really, could we expect anything else to be the outcome?
Well, anytime you ignore any part of the Word of God, anytime anybody ignores any part of the Word of God, it's just going to be downhill, morally, spiritually, and in every other way. And that's, of course, what's going on here with the Red Letter Revival. The thing that concerns me, David, you know, the Lord Jesus tells us in his teachings that when he comes back, there's the question, will there even be faith found on the earth? And we know that as we get closer to the return of Christ, people are going to be turning away from the truth of Christ. It certainly is an indication of the day and age in which we live, but it's also a reminder that those of us who know Christ need to be committed to the Word of God, living it, teaching it, promoting it, and marking those, such as those who are involved with this Red Letter Revival, marking them out and showing people every time we can the error of their way so that people will follow truth and not error.
Well, Gary, I want to ask you one question. I know we have about a minute or less until we're going to have to end the program. So I wanted to get a quick response from you on this. What must be done in the home and what must be done in the church? You've touched all around it, but I want you to say it again. What must be done in the home and the church so that this kind of discernment that's so necessary can be acquired? And then I'd love for you to take us to the throne of grace in prayer specifically for Ahmed and Amir.
We need to teach the Word of God. We need to know the Word of God. We need to live the Word of God before everybody around us and allow the Word of God to have its impact not only in our lives, but in the lives of our children and those who we are responsible to teach. And whether you're talking about the father knowing and teaching and living the Word of God or the pastor, listen, we just need to get back to biblical truth and allow the Word of God to have its effect. And Dave, I'm just going to ask Vince if he would to lead us in prayer right now for Ahmed and Amil.
Father, we thank you for your words and how precious they are to us. And Lord, I think about Ahmed and Amir. They're considering the ultimate sacrifice for you, Lord, because your word is precious. So Lord, we pray in the name of Jesus for their deliverance, but we pray most of all, Jesus, for the glorification of your name and your word in all the earth. Lord, be lifted high. Be lifted high, whether in death or in life. In Jesus' name.
Amen and amen. Vince, thank you, my friend, so much for being on with us today. And ladies and gentlemen, this would be an outstanding program for you to go back and listen to again and encourage your friends, family members, co-workers to listen to as well. Discernment is the needed element in the Church of Jesus Christ today that will only come through the teaching and understanding of God's Word. Well, join us again tomorrow for our next installment of Standing in the Gap Today. Till then, stand up for truth where you are.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to Stand in the Gap Today. Stand in the Gap Today is another quality ministry of the American Pastors Network, addressing the most pressing issues affecting the culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. We take seriously the command to be salt and light and the mission to declare truth in the public square. Stand in the Gap Radio is supported through the prayers and tax-deductible financial gifts from listeners like you. Would you please consider a donation to help us increase our outreach of biblical truth? To learn more about us and make your donation, please visit StandInTheGapRadio.com. You may also give from our smartphone app. Download the Stand in the Gap app. Search for it in your web store under the heading Stand in the Gap. Thanks for listening, and be sure to tune in every weekday at the same time for Stand in the Gap Today.
If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. 2 Chronicles 7:14. WFYL reminds you to pray for America.